Yes. So for those of you who don't know who I am, I'm Tom. I'm a husband of one wife and a father of two beautiful daughters. And I live now in Rwanda, and I've been there since 2007, working with the rural poor, helping to break down barriers in their communities so that they might thrive in overcoming poverty, physical poverty, spiritual poverty, and also social poverty. If you want to know more about that, I'm not going to talk about all of that today, but if you want to know more about it, then come and see me afterwards. I'm always happy to chat about our life in Rwanda and what we do. As James alluded to, at the beginning, I do have a tendency to cry, not just the manly one tear down the cheek, but the proper snot-induced, bubbling, kind of foaming crying that stops you being able to be understood. I have prayed, and the talk is about prayer. I've prayed that I shall not cry today, and so you get to witness whether God has definitely answered that prayer, but he hasn't made it clear to me whether that answer is you won't cry or you are going to cry, and that's just going to, you're going to live with that. So I'm talking today about plan, purpose, and prayer. And I've also stuck down something underneath there called God math. As I was thinking and praying on this, and I think I've mentioned it before, there's a lot in the Bible. The Bible is true. I believe it's 100% true, and it's God's word and spoken from him. But I also know that I don't really understand it. I don't understand it. It doesn't always make sense. And there's a lot in the Bible that you think, well, that can't possibly work. But then in practice, it does. For example, God's plan for defeating death was to die on the cross. So defeating death by dying, from my perspective, seems like a crazy thing. But that's God's math. It works. And he also says, like, if you love your enemy, you're supposed to love your enemy. If someone's mean to you, you love them back. And that's what you're supposed to do. And if you do it, it works. And if you forgive people in your heart, it changes you. These things work. It doesn't seem to work sometimes in our thoughts. We think, well, how can that work? How can, if somebody takes my jacket, if I give them other stuff, how is that going to be good? But it is good, and it does work. And some stuff I just don't understand. So as we move into plan and purpose and prayer, there's stuff I don't understand, but it does work. And I'm sorry if it's going to be a bit disjointed today. So let's move on. So can you just click the next slide? Actually, why don't we just do that, Julie? I'll just say the next slide, please, because there's only 8 slides. And for those of you who are already bored, it is only 8, and then it's over. So while we're looking for that, this is there's a list of Bible verses up there. So it's about God's perfect plan. So as we read the Bible, we see in Genesis, God has this plan to put Adam and Eve in the garden. And then throughout the Bible, we read about our path, what happens in the garden with the fall, and then as we move through, and then Jesus' salvation, and then all the way through to Revelation, where he gives us a glimpse of what he has for us, his final destination for us. Is it to be in a city, to be millions of people all together? Oh, come on. To be in a city all together with him in communion and in worship together. So God's plan is to take us from a garden in Genesis to a city. And these are all verses. You guys can look them up at your leisure if you're taking notes. I can give them to you afterwards. I'm not going to read them all. But his plans are good. They can't be thwarted. He's 30 out. He's got this purpose. We're on this trajectory from this garden to this city. And I've often thought, like if God came to me with that plan, like, I want us to be, if God said, like, ultimately I want us to be millions of people all together, worshipping and being together in this wonderful place, and this is how I'm going to do it. Now, I don't know if God had a different way of doing it. From what I read, that this must be his perfect plan. But do not ever Google, like, can you change God's will, or there's just too much information out there. But so I don't know for sure, but I feel that this is God's perfect plan. What we're living now is God's perfect plan. And so if he came to me, because God knows all things, so he knows the beginning from the end. So when he started this whole process, when he said, okay, I'm going to create man, he already knew the outcome of what that would be. If I'm going to create man, he already knew what would happen. It would result in his death. It would result in suffering. It would result in wonderful things as well. But as he looked at the whole thing, he said to himself, despite all that he could see that would happen from that decision to create man, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it to be in relationship. And I don't think I've ever really grasped just how important relationship is to God. When you think of all the terrible things that really hurt God, I mean, he feels these things when there's murders, when there's death, when there's sickness. It's not as if he's a passive God. He feels these things, but he said this was worth it, even his own death. It was worth it. But why? Please can I have the next slide? Thank you. This is just a load of pictures of people that I had on my computer. It's about people. It's about people. God passionately loves people. All the people here, all the people in the world. In fact, I believe that people are the most important thing to God. I'm a new father, relatively new. I came to fatherhood late in the game. And I'm loving it. I think I've felt it before, but since becoming a father, I've had a little glimpse of kind of like what it is for God to look at us, his children and his people. I don't think I had really kind of, I've felt this way before, the way you feel in fatherhood. And there's a little story that it's possibly inappropriate for church. Dads sometimes need their space. And so one of the good places to find some space is when you're doing a number two. You can be left alone. And so there was a particular day, we were very busy. I actually needed to do a number two, but I have lingered in the bathroom, just having some time to myself. And there was a little knock on the door. It was my daughter, and she was like, "What are you doing? What are you doing in there?" I was like, "Well, I'm doing a poo." She kept saying, "Can I come in?" Like, no, you can't come in. I'll be out in a minute. I'll be out in a minute. And then these little fingers came under the door. And she was like, "Can you see me, Daddy? Can you see me?" And then I heard some shuffling. She said, "I can see you. I can see you." And it filled me with such joy and delight, just the desire for her to be with me, because I am a deeply flawed individual. It's nice to be wanted. And that kind of delight that I had in her, just her desire and her way to make me laugh, filled me with so much joy. And that's just a kind of, just even, not even a millionth of what God feels for spending time with you. On a side note, I think we have lost something of community. People are the most important thing, but in the UK we are becoming a little bit disjointed from each other. The good thing is that the church is a place where that doesn't happen. And actually, in The Guardian, I think just relatively recently, or one of the newspapers, it said you actually live longer if you're in a church by a few years, 3 or 4 years, you'll actually live longer. And I think there is something about being with people. And so remember, when God's people are important, and that's everyone, people you don't like, people who annoy you, people who are mean to you, they are precious to God. And they need to be precious to us too. Right. Can I have another slide? So what is our plan? So there's this plan that God has. For some reason, again, it's down to God math, he has decided to use us to fulfill his purposes, us with free will, us as flawed individuals. He wants us to be part of his overall plan, and that's every one of us. So Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." It's everyone has a part and a purpose. If you are saying you are too young, if you're saying you're too old, if you're saying you're inadequate, that's not biblical as far as I can see. In fact, the more flawed and useless you are, the more God can do with you. You're worthy now. You have a purpose now. Now is your time. Not later. It is now. And another little side note, if there's anyone here at the moment that... So before I went to Rwanda, I had this feeling inside that just there had to be more to life than this. And I was living. I mean, I had a good life. I had a good job. I was active in the church. But I just had this real sense that there's got to be more than this. And if you are feeling that, I would really encourage you to go home, get on your knees, and just open up to God and say, you know, I give you my life. I give you my wealth. I give you my health. And whatever you want me to do, I will do it. There we go. The answer was no. I mean, I don't know if it's a blessing or a curse, but it's just, I just pray I can get through it, that you can understand my heart. You are important. You have a purpose. Find out what that purpose is. Because I can tell you from going to Rwanda, it is unreal. It is amazing once you find your purpose and you're in that. It just feels wonderful. And there is nothing, nothing, nothing better on earth. You can have heaven on earth now. Have another slide, Julie. Thanks. So, God has his plan. We have a purpose. And one part of that purpose is to pray. This is a load of verses on prayer. This is not even half the verses on prayer. There's a squillion million of them. And we are just encouraged. We should be praying. We are commanded to pray. Nothing can be done without prayer. It's not an optional extra. It's what we are called to do and to be part of. And it works. It works. It works. So... do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to God. Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or dispute. Actually, I just had a thought. This is actually an ideal month to talk about prayer. Every man on earth, whether they believe or not, are praying to a God that their team will win. So we are surrounded by prayers. I know there's quite a few going up for this afternoon. The next slide. So when I was thinking about prayers in my own life, some practical, like, when, you know, things and examples of when I've seen prayer, I wanted just to share a few for you, because it's not just words in the Bible. We live these things out. I'm sure each one of us has our own stories about how prayer has been answered and differences that have been made. So when I thought about prayer and what happens in my life, I'm not really a theologian, but these were the four things that I thought of. The first one, when prayer gets answered. A few years ago now, I had on my heart and in my mind, and it was bothering me, that we should do adult literacy, that we should teach people how to read and write in the rural communities. I have no teaching background. I'm not the best speller. In fact, they used to keep, when I was at primary school, they'd take me out for the special lessons, and all they did was they kept testing our hearing. They're like, oh, they've got to be deaf. There's got to be something wrong with it. But it turns out it took us a while to learn how to read. So it was a good thing, and I had it on my heart. I thought it was for God, and we prayed about it. And to the point where I went to the Ministry of Education, because you need to follow their syllabus. When you do adult education, there's some rules that you have to follow in Rwanda. And we sat down with the deputy minister of education. And so he said, well, so how much money do you have to spend on this? I don't have any yet. I don't know how much it costs. Once you tell me how much it's going to cost, once I've worked all that out, then we'll find the money. That won't be a problem. And he's like, okay, so how many of these education programs have you done before? And I'm like, well, I've done none, roughly. If I think about it. And he says, you've got no experience. He says, do you have any teachers? I'm like, well, not yet. I don't know how much it costs. I don't know anything. I haven't got the literature. So surely you have to start with that information first. And he's like, okay, so you've got no money, no experience, and no actual teachers. And I was like, yes. So can you give me the syllabus so I can get moving with this? And we were praying about it, and I had to keep going back to the Ministry of Education because they wouldn't give me the books that we needed. So I keep going back. And while this was happening, we were obviously still praying, and the Lord provided a company that gave us the money. So at last, we had one of the things. We had $5,000 that we hoped would be enough. And then the Lord provided an amazing lady. As a little side note, she was a non-Christian lady, and there's always part of me that wonders whether God had put something on a Christian person's heart and they hadn't responded, and so he had used someone else, or she was just an angel from God. I don't know, but she's a lovely lady, but she doesn't believe. But she had all of the necessary skills. She was traveling through East Africa, and she had found us online, and she said, I want to help out with something. And as soon as we met and we started talking, and we discovered that she was a teacher trainer, she was an expert in budget, and she set up our entire program. All I had to do was get the books from the Ministry of Education, which actually at one point did result in me sitting outside their offices on the floor, and every time they offered me a chair, I said no. And they said, oh, but what about customer service? And I said, well, if a white person sitting on the floor will bring you enough shame for you to give me my books, then I don't need a chair. And I got the books in the end. So my little part was to get the books, which took me 12 months and possibly piles, but we got the books, and she did it. And so that was a massive answer to prayer. We started with nothing. We knew we were supposed to do it, and God just came in and provided everything that we needed. Prayer that does not seem to be answered in the way that you wanted. I believe prayer is always answered, but it's not prayer that's answered in the way you wanted. And then afterwards you see why. And so I think I've talked before about Rita and her job and something we prayed about, and then it didn't work out. We were kind of questioning why. And then he brought her something that was better, something that was better, more for the kingdom, something that was going to change people's lives. And Toddle Care was born. And we had a similar situation with Azizi Life. We thought we were supposed to be in this very posh hotel, and it would be good. We'd be able to sell all of our products in this place. We'd prayed about it, and we spent about 11 months kind of working out all the details and trying to get into this place. And at the last minute, it all just collapsed. And it all fell away. And we were like, why did that happen, God? And then he showed us, and there was more to come out of that. In other work that we were doing, if we had invested in that, we wouldn't have been able to do these other things that have reaped much more benefits. And so we were able to see God's hand in that. Prayer that does not get answered, and you still do not know why. Now, this is possibly a time I'll cry, because this is hard. But you all know it. You all have sick people you're praying for. You all have unsaved people you're praying for. And nothing seems to be changing. But you have to trust that God is good. God is good. God has a plan. And even if you don't understand it, that doesn't change. God is still good. Oh, I got through that bit. Right. Now, this category, I'm not actually sure is a category. So this is we didn't actually pray for it, but God seemed to answer it before we actually prayed. But we always, I mean, I'm not sure about you, but we pretty much always finish our prayer time with, Lord, you know, kind of lead us, tell us what we're supposed to do, guide us, provide what we need, as a kind of a generic cover-all prayer, just in case. No, not just in case, but it's because that's what we want. That's what we want. We want God to lead us and guide us. Sorry. And so I'm guessing it probably got picked up by there, but there was an incident. So before we even realized we needed something, God provided the answer for it. So there was a lady who was traveling with her husband to Rwanda. Her husband was working in Muhanga. He was working in a school. She had 6 weeks available where she wanted to do something, a Christian lady. She was from Germany, but had lived in Canada. She was one of the well-traveled people. And she had been emailing me backwards and forwards. And of course, if anyone emails me and says, oh, can we come and help you? I'm like, yeah, sure. We're not going to pay you anything. That's fine. We don't need any money. And so she was coming in to work on it, to work with us. But I didn't actually have anything for her to do at the time. But I knew there was bound to be something that would come up. And so she was traveling over to Rwanda. And at that same time, my colleague spotted a place in Kigali which would be ideal to open up an art studio, one of those kind of where you go in and you make your own art, like you paint your own plate that they do here, but we'd do like the Rwandan version. So we'd take the rural artisans in to be teachers for the workshops, and then we'd show people how to make these amazing Rwandan crafts, and then also generate money and awareness for our project and everything that we were doing. So my colleague Janine came up with this idea that that's what we'd do. But again, I've no experience in doing that. None of us have experience in running that or doing that. And so we were actually in the office. I wasn't there at the time. My colleagues were in the office, and they were looking on their computer to try and find other people that had done this in other countries. And they were on a website from Canada, and they were looking at this website that kind of was doing a similar thing. And the lady walked in, and it turned out that it was her friend's shop. The website was her friend's, and that she had helped her run it and set it up. And she said this would be the, she said she could help us do it. And she helped us. She took us, helped setting up the whole location, designing the lessons, teaching the staff how to run the lessons, everything that we could think of. She was there and she was in it. And it took her from start to finish 6 weeks, but she left the day after we had our opening party. And so God's hand was in that. Even when you specifically, we hadn't had time to pray about it because we'd only just thought of it, but God had the answer. Can I have the next slide? And then obviously the other thing of prayer that I just wanted to touch on was that Jesus prayed. So it's not just me. It's in fact, more importantly, Jesus prayed. And Jesus, when he prayed, things happened. We know in the Bible he prayed for healings and people were healed. He prayed that people were raised from the dead, they were raised from the dead. We know that he prayed to calm the storms and they were calmed. But he also prayed, but the plan didn't change. In the garden, he prayed if there was, you know, any other way, even though that he knew that was the way. He still prayed it, and God gave him the answer. Oh, so that's great. Okay, and so in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed, but the plan didn't change. He still did what he had to do on the cross. But the part of Jesus' life that I want to really focus our minds on as I come to the end, because this is slide 7, only one more, just to focus our minds on, is that he always would go away. He would it says Jesus did this, and then he went off into the wilderness to be with God, or then he took himself to a quiet place to be with God. He spent a lot of time with God, a long time with God. He'd do some work and then spend a long time with God. It doesn't say in the Bible what he actually talked about. But I think I'd like to believe he was hanging out with his father. He was asking questions. He was just being together. He was maybe doing a bit of worship, chatting, kind of like we do with our fathers or our friends here on earth. He was in relationship with him. So if you can give the last slide. For me, the prayer is about relationship. God, I don't know. I don't know if this is theological. You can take it up with other people who are cleverer than me. But God, I don't think God needs prayer. I think God would be quite complete without prayer. I think prayer is for us. I think it's about how we develop our relationship with God. I think God loves us hugely already. He doesn't need to expand his love anymore. But by us spending time with him and being in relationship with him, it will really change our lives. God's plan for us to be in a city and in relationship with him actually starts now. We don't have to wait to the end. We don't have to wait until we're actually in the city and living forever. But we can be in relationship right now. It's for today. The heavenly city can be here in your home as you spend time with God. He's probably been mentioned a million times before, but Brother Lawrence talked about practicing the presence of God for wherever you are. And that would be, it's an amazing practice if you can get into it. I encourage you to read the book. And possibly other books that are easier to read that kind of talk around it and explain it in more regular words. Because there's something about being in his presence all the time, being aware of God all the time. Actually, as a father, even though I'm talking to you and kind of petrified a little bit and teary a little bit and thinking a little bit, at the back of my mind there's also my daughters. And I think that's what we need to be with God. We're doing our life, our regular life, but at the back of our mind, we're always thinking about God, his wonderfulness, his love. And if we can achieve that, well, God will love it. He'll be delighted. He loves us now, and we are worth it. And that's, I guess that's the main part of my message, which is now, you know, this is the last slide. I've got nothing else. So if I've been quick, well done. You get to go out for your teas and coffees early. But I think that's it. It's just being with God, being in prayer with God, loving him. You are, like, sometimes you can feel like you're not good enough to spend time with him. And if you feel like that, that's an attack of the enemy. If you believe in Jesus Christ and you've repented and you've given your life to God, he loves you. He loves you dearly. And he wants to spend time with you. He wants you to poke your fingers under the toilet door. And so if that's all you take away from today, God wants you to poke your fingers under the toilet door. Thank you.